The third commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Now, let me just say up front, though you're probably going to forget, I believe we break all the commandments, okay? I believe that Christians, well, let's at least say before we were Christians, I believe we break every one of the commandments. Now, I know you may go, Pastor, I have not. I have not killed anyone. I got you there. Oh, no, you remember what Jesus said, right? If you've been angry at your brother, you've broken that commandment. Has anyone not ever got angry at anyone else? All right, so you all broke that one. I know some of you are going to go, wait a second, Pastor, I've never committed adultery. Wait a second. If you've lusted after someone else, you've committed adultery in your heart. Anyone guilty of not breaking that commandment? Maybe some of the old-timers say, I don't remember. But, by the way, where's Pastor Gary? You know that I was going to say something. You said, hey, we're going to have this event for senior saints, 50 years and above. I'm like, I'm older than 50, but I'm not a senior saint, brother. A senior saint is my age plus 20.
I said
age can cure. No, we got to come up with something better than senior saints. Saints that are the wisest. Something. So, huh? The old people. Now, see? That's not going to help either. So, I believe we break all the commandments. So, and this is one of those ones that it's pretty tough, and we break it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Or the King James Version of the Ten Commandments, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. I don't know if you saw, it's funny how the news goes right along with what I'm preaching on. Did you hear the news about the president of the Philippines on Friday? So the president of the Philippines is he uses profanity and God's name in vain on a consistent basis, including cursing out the Pope and our president, okay? So he is notorious for doing this. Well, last week he was flying in the plane and he hears a voice. This is true, okay? This is in the news Friday. He hears a voice while he's in the plane and the voice goes, you better stop using my name in vain and stop swearing or I'm going to make this plane drop out of the sky. The president goes, who's talking to me? And he said, this is God talking to you. The plane lands, he holds a news conference on Friday for his whole country and tells the whole country what happened and that he is no longer going to swear and use God's name in vain and curse. The whole country, the cabinet's all there, they're all cheering and clapping. And of course, he's a little bit embarrassed. He says, this is my commitment not to swear anymore. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if he's found God or not. I mean, God spoke to him probably, but I thought that was interesting. So I don't know if us Christians have any excuse if we're using the Lord's name in vain. So the word misuse the Lord or use the Lord's name in vain, that Hebrew word means to use the Lord's name empty, idle, insincere, phony, frivolous. Jesus himself reinforced the truth of the third commandment. Although I kind of wonder how many people even know the Lord's Prayer anymore, especially the younger generation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which means God, Jesus is saying the name of God, the Father, should be holy, sacred, awesome. By the way, do you see that hallowed? That actually looks like the spelling, almost. identical spelling of another word that we're going to be, that people will be celebrating like tomorrow or something. What does it? Halloween. Because that term Halloween actually at one point was Holy Saints or All Saints or whatever. But it's kind of funny that it is the same. I don't think Halloween reflects that at all anymore, okay? But even Jesus says we should take God's name seriously and handle it with holy reverence. A lot of people believe that out of the Ten Commandments, this is the least one that you have to worry about, that all the other commandments are more significant. And that God, you know, he knows we get angry, we get frustrated when someone cuts in front of us or when we're mad at someone and we say JC or GD, that God knows that, you know, he's that third commandment's just not as important. It's the most neglected commandment even among Christians. However, if you look at the verse, it's the only commandment. It's as if God knew that people would really abuse his commandment. It's the only commandment that the Lord ends with the verse. He says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And this is the only commandment that says this. "For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So you may go, "Oh, you know, when I say JC, when I'm upset or something, I know God's not going to hold me accountable. He knows I'm kind of just using that, not thinking, you know, frivolously." But God says right there in the commandment, no, no, don't think that way. You will be guilty. I don't care how much you think you're just frivolously using it, didn't mean it, or whatever. This is the one commandment God says, oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to hold you guiltless. I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, I know you didn't mean it. No, I do mean it. And you are guilty if you misuse my name. In fact, for the Jewish people, the name of God was so holy. Jewish people do not say the name of God in regular conversation. They only will say the name of God when they're in a service worshiping the Lord. When Jewish people would write out the scriptures, any time that their pen would write the name of God, they believed the pen became holy and could not write unholy words, and so they would have to break the pen. After each time they would have to write the name of God, the pen would be broken because the pen would no longer be able to write the A boy because it became a holy pen. That's how much they revere the name of God. Turn to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus, it's the next book, Exodus, Leviticus 24. Let's see what God thinks about misusing his name. Leviticus 24, verse 10. Leviticus 24, verse 10. "Now, the son of an Israelite mother, an Egyptian father, went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and Israelite." You know, you get into fights. And when you get into fights, you swear. You curse. You might say, you know, GD or something like that, okay? That's what's going on here. Two guys are fighting, all right? Verse 11, "The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord shall be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death.'" That's what God thinks about using his name in vain. I want to tell you something here, and I'll just be frank. You can blaspheme and use the Father's name in vain And I know there's forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. I know you can blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think you should do it, but I know you can do it. And I know Jesus will forgive you if you ask him. But Christians, I want to warn you very clearly. You can blaspheme the name of the Father. You can blaspheme the name of the Son. I wouldn't do it because if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to guarantee anything for you. I'm not guaranteeing anything for you. So I guess I would be very careful not to use the Father's name or the Son's name so that you don't accidentally use the Holy Spirit's name in blasphemy. If, you know what the scripture says about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, right? Any other sin can be forgiven, but not that sin. So I'd be very careful. I don't know how close you want to get to the line. Some ways to misuse the Lord's name. Turn back to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 12. So some of the ways that we can misuse the Lord's name is by lying under oath. Lying under oath. Verse 12 of Leviticus 19. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So when you lie under oath, you are misusing the Lord's name. You are basically saying, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. God can drop me dead, you know? But if you lie, you are misusing the Lord's name. You're, in a sense, blaspheming his name. The curse for lying would be death. I wonder if we brought that back, if you got caught lying under oath, you'd be put to death. You know, do you know what? Perjury today, basically, people lie all the time in court and rarely anything happens. Sometimes they get a minor fine. That's why when people go to court, they don't even care. They lie. Politicians lie. They, you know, because there's no fear anymore. They can, you know, they can promise that they're telling the truth, but they're lying. But understand, they are breaking the third commandment. Come to Matthew. Chapter 5, Jesus addresses this issue of taking oaths, swearing by God's name. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Matthew 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. So anytime you swear to the Lord, you need to keep them. But I tell you, verse 34, but I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So what the Jews would do, they knew that if they swore by the name of God and then it turned out to be false, they could be stoned. So what they would do is they would swear by something else. So they would say, I swear by heaven, I'm telling the truth. And for the religious people, here's technically what they believed. If you swore by the name of God, then you had to do that. If you swore by something else, then you could annul what you're swearing about in your heart. As long as it was a swear to something else. So the Jews used to go, I swear by heaven I'm telling the truth. I annul it in my heart. And then they could lie. I swear by the earth I'm telling the truth. I'm swearing by my own head, by my own self, that I'm telling the truth. But in their heart, they could break it, as long as they didn't use the Lord's name in vain. What Jesus is saying is, you know what? It doesn't really matter. If you're swearing, it doesn't matter if it's heaven, earth, Jerusalem, yourself, you're telling God. It's using the Lord's name in vain, whether you want to admit to it or not. And to the believer, let your yes be yes, and your no, no, and you don't even have to go into the swearing. So let me give you a verse here. This is in 1 Peter. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you, what? Bear that name. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. I want to see how many Christians there are. Okay, what does it mean that you're a Christian? Tell me what that means when you go, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? Christ what? You're a Christ follower. Okay, what else does it mean? You're bought by his blood. What else does it mean? You know Jesus. In fact, where is Jesus for the believer? He's in your heart. How about the Ten Commandments? What do the Ten Commandments mean for a Christ follower? Do you follow the Ten Commandments? If you go, I'm a Christian, should people assume you follow the Ten Commandments? Yeah. To say you're a Christian means that you're saying, hey, God lives in me. God's forgiven me of my sins, and I follow him. And his commandments are my commandments. When an employer is looking for an employee, I think if a boss says, you know, he's interviewing people, this is just my bias, and you say, I'm a Christian, that boss should be able to say to himself, oh man, I've hit payday. This is the greatest day. Because I now know that this Christian is going to work hard for me, right? I know this Christian isn't going to lie to me because he says Jesus lives in him. And so I know he's not going to lie to me as an employee. I know he's not going to steal from me. I know he's not going to covet my job and my business. This is a great day for me to hire this Christian. Should that not be true? Should that not be true? Okay. That's why Jesus says for the Christian, let your yes be yes and your no, no, because for a Christian, you don't lie. You don't have to swear because your word should be good. Making vows and promises to God you don't keep. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you want to look at this, let me just tell you to cut down time. This is when you go to church and you make promises to God and then you break them. And then you go, oh, it was a mistake. I didn't mean to make that promise. It says that the angel, the temple messenger, the angel goes to God, and God is not happy when you use his name to make vows and promises, and you break them. It says God will destroy the work of your hands. And I know I'm going to get myself, I told you we break all of these commandments, right? But that's why I get scared when people get married. Because when you get married, what do? With the other person in front of God? You make what? You make vows. And this is why it's so tough. When you counsel with people before they get married, sometimes you just know, oh, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. And it's tough to see them make promises that they're going to break. And then you feel bad because there's like a curse that comes upon the couple who breaks their vows. Now, I understand there's forgiveness in Jesus. Don't get me wrong. There is, okay? But it is still, be careful. There's still God's discipline. Be careful when you make promises. I always get, you know, somewhat nervous. I don't want to scare you from the altar, but when we make promises to the Lord, you need to keep them. Or you're using the Lord's name in vain. You're using it frivolously. You don't really mean what you said, but you told God right in his house you were going to do something. You better do it. That's my advice to you. Using the Lord's name to curse and swear. Profanity. Cursing. So there's a story. You don't have to turn to it. Let me just tell you this story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. And on his way there, he wants to go through a Samaritan village. And so he sends his disciples ahead, and the people in the Samaritan village say, we don't want Jesus to come into our village. The apostle John and James go to Jesus. They don't want you to come into that village. How about we curse them? How about we call fire from heaven and burn up that village and send them to hell? And Jesus goes, whoa. He rebukes them. What is wrong with you, James and John? And 2 Peter says that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to life. Jesus, God doesn't want people to go to hell. And so Jesus is very annoyed that James and John are so readily ready to curse people and send them to hell. Like, really? I've come to die for them. I don't want them to go to hell. I want you to keep that in mind every time you're driving down the road, someone cuts you off and you go, God, deep, you. Oh, yeah, you want to send them to hell, right? Oh, yeah, you go, oh, I was just using the Lord's name in vain. Oh, is that what you were doing? So every time you're using the Lord's and you're cursing this and you're cursing that and G and JC, and just realize what you're doing. You're cursing. That's not the heart of God. That's not God cursing in you. That's you. That's your sinful nature. And I'm going to get myself into trouble. And it doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama or a Republican president. I would tell you the same thing. So our president had a meeting recently with Planned Parenthood, using God's name frivolously. And here it is. I got this out of the news. President Barack Obama recently gave an address to Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the United States of America, finished his address by saying, quote, thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. Really? Do you think God is going to bless Planned Parenthood, that is the largest abortion provider in the country? Is that where we're at? God bless you. In Iowa, in the news, Iowa Democrat gubernatorial candidates joined 50 pro-abortion activists in an extended prayer for abortion rights during a rally at the state capitol on Wednesday. They spent 5.5 minutes thanking God for abortion rights, abortion doctors, and taxpayer funding for abortions. They also refer to the decision to have an abortion as a blessing. Now, I have to tell you, if you read this news, these Democratic gubernatorial candidates and the 50 pro-choice, they were mocking because the pro-life people were off the state capitol, and they were praying, of course, for pro-life and for, and so they decided to hold a prayer vigil on the Capitol steps, praying to God and thanking God for abortion, abortion rights, abortion doctors. And I really thought when I was reading this, I was like, wow, this is taking God's name in vain. They know, they don't really believe, they're mocking the Christians and they're making fun of this whole thing. I have to wonder, how old was Mary when she got pregnant with Jesus, according to tradition? What? 14 to 16. I think I hear 13. 14 to 16. Can you picture Mary? Let's say she was 14, okay? And I know they were mature back in those days, okay? Can you picture Mary finding out she's pregnant and going into Planned Parenthood? How can we help you? And Mary goes, I think I'm pregnant. How old are you? I'm 14. We're going to help you. You've come to the right place. This is embarrassing. School, family, we'll take care of this fetus. How did you get pregnant? I'm a virgin. It just came. I can see Planned Parenthood. Oh, man, she can't even accept the fact. Can't even accept the fact that she really needs to get rid of this baby. She's not even in reality. We'll take care of this fetus. I can see Mary going, yeah, but God told me I would be with child. It's a child. And give birth to a son. That it's a son, it's a child. Oh, don't listen to that. Well, Mary, maybe I should talk to my parents. We're your parents. Your parents will lead you astray. Right now, we're the ones who love you. We'll act as your mom and father, and we'll take care of you. I have such a tough time understanding why any Roman Catholic would not be pro-life through and through. Because they make such a huge deal about Mary, who was with child, okay? Ah, now I'm getting tougher. Texting using God's name frivolously. So that OMG, what does that stand for? Oh my G-O-D, okay? And there's lots of texting that's shortened use of God's name. Now I know you're going, oh no, I don't really. This isn't serious. This is just an expression I use. Yeah, that's right. That's what the commandment's talking about. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Do not use it frivolously. Don't use it just in passing. Don't use it like it's just some common word. Hallowed be thy name. Awesome. Holy. Keep it sacred. Don't just throw it out there like, oh, God, you know, this. Okay. I know. Now I'm hitting the next generation. I like this sign out west. If you must curse, use your own name. OMJ. No, I can't do that one either. Using God's name in vain on TV. So I've learned just this week that there's actually five different ways that people curse, five different categories of types of cursing, swear words, okay? I got four of them up here. I'll tell you what the fifth one is here in a second. The first one is religious cursing and swearing. That's the GD, that's the JC, that's the, you know, religious cursing, okay? Using God's name in vain on TV. The second type of cursing is when you talk about bodily excretion. That's SH, these are four-letter words, okay? This is like, not Jeopardy, what's the, password. Wasn't password yet. Anyway. S-H blank blank, C-R blank blank, and so forth. Does everyone understand those curse swear words? I say that because I have so many Christians now that I think those words are okay now. But if they're dealing with bodily excrement, I mean, you have to ask yourself, would Jesus is living in you, would Jesus go, C-R, S-H, and you go, oh, that's okay. That's so neat, Jesus saying that. Really? Really? What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Your bodily excrement should go down, not out, like vomit. Sexual activity, so different swear words about sexual activity. A bad name for a body part. Usually a sexual body part. The fifth one, by the way, is swear words that are on some nationalities. So can you think of a swear word to black people that if you say it, you might be arrested by hate language? The black people can say it, by the way, but if you're white and you say some of these words, you could be probably arrested. Okay, so those are the five categories of swear words. I personally believe Christians shouldn't be guilty of any of these categories. So they did a study on primetime TV, just the top rated shows for one season, and this is the amount of times on TV. Just to tell you how this has changed, 30 years ago, those categories would all be zero. 30 years ago, they'd be zero. Okay? Which one is grown the most, by the way, on TV? Which category has grown the most? Using God's name in vain. It's almost as if Hollywood has studied the Bible and said, hey, look, at one of these commands is don't misuse the Lord's name. Let's see how often we can misuse the Lord's name in vain on TV shows. Hundreds of times just in one season, just in like the top five shows, hundreds and hundreds of times. So much that about 50% of the country swears on a regular basis every week. And by the way, they're saying it's not that much different in the church. That's why, you remember, I start the sermon saying, I know we're all guilty. But hopefully, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But we are now a swearing nation. And you know, and you see it in our politicians, don't you? They use, it's incredible. It's like out. It's like the accepted thing to do now is to have a filthy mouth. And it's like, wow, here's where we're at. Totally accepted by like everyone now. This was a study. Is TV turning our kids into fountains of four-letter words? Maybe so, says a new study that finds a link between foul-mouthed children and profanity-ridden shows and video games. Wow, that's amazing that the study showed that. I never even thought about video games are constantly using the Lord's name in vain or some kind of swear word that the parents aren't even aware of. So, wow, interesting link. That the more the kids are watching TV, the more they're being influenced to say this stuff. The average five-year-old in the United States knows 30 to 40 swear words before starting school. Isn't that nice how the TV is babysitting our kids and teaching them the proper way to speak and talk? Here was the cure when I was a kid. I remember my mother doing this to me. How many had your parents give you the swearing? Okay, so I know at least a couple of you don't swear. It was the cure we used on our kids as well. I noticed there was an ad. So you can now buy naughty mouth soap that comes in flavors. But I'm thinking, I'm not so sure that's so good. I can see a kid going, hey, I want some more strawberry soap. So it says a couple of words. Hey, take this. And yum. I love it. Tasty. I told you last week that my wife and I, we didn't have a TV until our kids were teenagers. But when we did have a TV guardian. And that, it wasn't perfect, but it filters out a lot of the swear words and the bad words on your TV. This is VidAngel. This is like a Redbox. You can get movies for $1. You get them through the computer. And it has all the same movies that Redbox would have, except you can filter. You can filter all the language out. You can filter sex scenes out. They are in court right now. Hollywood is fighting them, going, we don't want you to take out all the swear words. You're changing our artistic expression, and we don't want any filtering of our programs. We already got all Americans addicted on TV and movies. We want no filtering. We have an agenda, and we don't want anyone filtering it. So there is a lawsuit going on. My gut feeling is VidAngel is going to lose, that they are going to win. Tough luck on all Christians. You can watch our shows, but you got to get the garbage with it. Why is swearing so big? I have to wonder myself, why is it growing in the United States and the world, for that matter? Well, in Revelation, it tells us that the Antichrist opened his mouth to blaspheme God. He'll be the world leader. He'll blaspheme God, use the Lord's name in vain. He's going to slander his name, his dwelling place, and the saints who live in heaven. And right after this verse is when he makes all-out war against Christians. So we are heading to already 50% of the United States is cursing on a regular basis. Not only once a week, probably every day. Using crude. That's hopefully Christians, you aren't just like fitting right in. Hopefully people that you work with live see a difference in your language. It's sanctified language. It's the language of Jesus who lives in you. But it's preparing. The whole world is being prepared for some great leader to step forth who will be the ultimate in breaking the third commandment. He, on a regular basis, is going to be cursing God and using his name. And I can see the whole world, yeah, this is great. This is wonderful. This is... All right, James chapter 1, last verse. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious, this is in a good sense, religious. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is what? It's worthless. If Jesus Christ is living in you, if you say you are a Christian, then you should have the ability to keep a tight rein on your tongue and not swear and misuse the Lord's name in vain. The fact that you are swearing and cursing may mean that your religion is worthless. If someone handed you this $1 million bill and said, go to the bank and cash it, what would you say if someone gave you this $1 million bill? You would say, perhaps it's worthless, right? Doesn't matter what else is on there. I mean, the whole rest of the bill could be legitimate, but you know it's worthless, right? Well, this is what God says. If you say you're a Christian and you can't keep a tight rein on your tongue, here's what God says about your Christianity. It's worthless. How could Jesus be living in you with a sewer coming out of your mouth? Your religion is worthless. It isn't, you're a fake. How can you do that to the Savior who died on the cross, who you say lives in you? How can you allow your mouth to just swear and CR and JSC and GD and how can that be? How can that be? So let's bow. Father, Lord, give us, fill us with the Spirit of God. We know that the tongue is the hardest part of the body to bring under the Spirit's control. But Lord, that's what we all desire. That's what we want. We need help, Lord. Sometimes it's become such a habit to say inappropriate words, we don't even realize we're saying them. We really are using the Lord's name in vain, swearing in vain. Lord, may our lips be set apart in our tongue. We confess we are sinners, Lord. Forgive us. And help us to get victory in Jesus' name over our tongues. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take my voice and let me sing. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let Father, I do thank you for the hymns. They're just so packed with scripture. And I thank you for the praises, the worship. Lord, help us to not be hypocrites. We aren't by any stretch perfect, Lord. But help us to grow, to be more like Christ. Fill us, bless us as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.